South Leicestershire
and North Northamptonshire. HFM.
Hello and welcome. It's Nick here at HFM, and today I'm joined by Dan Cleary, the principal at the Robert Smythe Academy in Market Harborough. So, Dan, what have the last 2 weeks been like for you and for the school?
The last 2 weeks have been a real challenge. I think it's almost unimaginable if you go back a month that we'd be looking at the scenario that we currently face. And I think, like anyone else, I've had to get my own head around that. I wouldn't claim to have an inside track in terms of knowing what was coming and, you know, when closure would happen and what closure would look like when it did happen, or to anticipate kind of the weight of emotion that was going through the school in the last week before closure. And we were really fortunate because we managed to stay open for all year groups all the way through that final week. I'm really proud of that because, you know, staff, students, parents all came together to try and make sure that we were able to stay open for those who were well enough. But it's been very difficult in truth. And for students, I think, first of all, it's been such a time of great emotion because I think if you're in year 11 or year 13, you've had a rite of passage that you've been working toward, you know, the final exams, results day, celebrations thereafter. And those things have been such a big part of your, I suppose, your psyche, the way you've approached your work this year. I've been so inspired by year 11 and year 13 this year, genuinely, totally inspired by them. And the fact that that all changed within a matter of minutes after the Secretary of State's update about exams not taking place in May and June. I think that was really, really difficult for students. So for example, we had to try and create really quickly, final assemblies, leavers assemblies for them, which felt rushed. They were rushed. We did our very best to make them meaningful for the kids. We wanted them to have that moment. But, you know, those moments came a little bit sooner than we might have liked. I think for everyone else in the school, it would be disingenuous to say that, you know, this was just about year 11 and 13. The school felt in the last week, like a community that was trying to keep together. But we had lots of worried children, lots of worried students and their families, I'm sure, feeling exactly the same. So it's been a really tough 2 weeks. What we've tried to do, because this is a huge change to routine, is to put in place a proactive plan for students so that, you know, there's a plan for remote learning for students, for staff, for parents that we're following at the moment. We've really tried to communicate, you know, I've tried to keep in touch with everyone as much as we can. And also to try and, while the students were in the school and continuing forward, offer that calm and poise which we felt they needed. I think this is a moment where, just to kind of go on a little further, I'd just like to say that in terms of the staff response, it has been quite inspiring. You know, members of staff with their own families, their own uncertainties, their own worries, really kept us afloat in that final week before partial closure. And I just thought they were inspiring, totally inspiring. They were the adults in the room, they were the professionals, they were calm, they showed that emotional self-regulation that we talk about a lot as a team, and I'm very, very proud of them. So a really difficult 2 weeks, certainly, that have just gone by, and lots of challenges that we now face as we move forward.
So how long will schools be closed for, Dan?
Well, at the moment, schools are closed until further notice, which is, I suppose, still feels strange being at school at the moment and looking at the kind of hive of activity that's happening online, students, parents, staff all working together. But in terms of the physical building and going back to normal, the current advice is that we are closed until further notice. So I suppose from our point of view, it's again monitoring that situation closely, looking at what that advice and guidance means. But just to give you my experience, if you'd have again gone back maybe only a month ago and asked me, realistically, as someone who worked in a school, was leading a school, was talking to other school leaders, was talking to other people, reading the advice and guidance, looking at what was happening in the country and also abroad, I wasn't preparing for, you know, months of closure. this is a completely different scenario and, you know, an uncharted waters really that we're going into. So school closure at the moment feels like a, you know, a longer term proposition than it would have a month ago. And what that means for us, I suppose, realistically, is now we need to start reflecting on why, okay, we've navigated a week of it or so. What does it mean going forward? If this is going to be a period of months and not weeks or days, then what do we need to do to support children and to support families so that actually we can make this situation as positive as possible? So that's where I'm very lucky, because we've got brilliant parents, brilliant students who are in regular contact. And really over that planned Easter holiday period that starts on Friday of this week, we'll be looking at, well, okay, what does this next phase look like for us? Because we've learned so much already in the first week of school closure. We now need to apply those lessons and think about, well, okay, what does the future look like for all of our students and families together?
Now, lots of parents and students at Robert Smyth will want to know what's happening with exams this year. What can you tell them?
Well, as I said earlier, exams has been a huge change to all of our thinking, because the confirmed advice and guidance now is that there'll be no exams sat in May and June this year in the usual way. So for students who are in year 11 and year 13, GCSE and A-level students in particular, those exams won't be happening in the way that they've always happened. The exam bodies and now Ofqual have said that they'll be working together to organise an awarding process in July. So the DfE at the moment are confirming that in July students will have an awarding process. They'll be awarded a grade. That grade will be a qualification, as it's always been. Some of the other, I suppose, bits of communication from the DfE recently have suggested that the grades that are awarded will be indistinguishable from those that they've had previously. And I think at the moment, as a school, the advice that we've had is that those grades will be based on some form of combination of teacher assessment and prior attainment. Now, at the moment, on a case-by-case individual basis, or if you were to look at subjects or classes, we're not clear yet on what that process will look like. So all schools at the moment are monitoring daily, very, very carefully, what's coming back from Ofqual, because we want to know what their detailed guidance is for that awarding process. A couple of things to mention here. Number one is consistency. It is so important that when this process takes place for those students that we are consistent, because there must be a consistency if those qualifications are to hold up and are to hold their integrity, particularly against other qualifications in the past. That's got to be right for young people who have worked so hard. Number two, second thing for me to bear in mind in this process is that actually it's about fairness, isn't it? And it's about making sure that students get the grades that are the most realistic grades and the appropriate grades for what they've achieved. And again, until we're clear on how Ofqual and exam bodies want us to proceed to ensure consistency and fairness for all candidates, and not just at my school but in all schools, then really what we're doing at the moment is we've got a watching brief. We're asking students to continue to work towards, you know, their assessment points, because I think for progression it's really important that students in year 11, 13 who, you know, are applying for sixth form or vocational apprenticeships or for moving to university in year 13 or to other things, it's really healthy that you keep in a routine, you keep learning, you keep working. I think that's really important. But in terms of the specific, how do we get to that award? We really at this point want to see, well, what is the detailed guidance for that? Because students in my school must get equitable, consistent and fair grades with the work that they've put in this year. I think the other thing that I want to say, though, because that's the detail, and I suppose the answer there is July, but we're not sure how we're going to get there exactly yet. The other thing to say is, going back to one of my previous answers, let's just make sure also as a community we recognise that, awarding aside, we want to create moments for these young people who have given so much to achieve their award and their qualifications. Now, in Year 11's case, one of the last things that I said to Year 11 as a collective was that if their school prom doesn't happen this summer as we had planned for it to happen, we do want to create that moment for them in the future. So when we get back to normal, one of my tasks and my commitments to them was we will look at some form of reunion. I'd like to do exactly the same thing for Year 13, although that will be made more difficult given that Year 13, many of whom will want to go to university. If they were starting their courses at that usual kind of September point, that might be more challenging. But we're not just going to give up on those rites of passage. They are so important for students, and we will make sure we do whatever we can do. When we've come out of the other side of the award and the results, we'll do whatever we can do to make sure they get those moments, because those moments are critically important and valuable to people who have put months and years of hard work into qualification. So that's really where we're up to with regard to exams at the moment.
So if I'm a parent at home, what advice or tips would you give to help me through this, Dan?
I think the thing I'd like to say about this right at the very start is that so many of our parents are doing such a wonderful job at the moment already. Before I give, I suppose, practical pointers, and I'm not sure any of our parents need practical pointers from me, looking at the feedback that I've had on email this week and phone conversations, it's just been fabulous. But I do want to say first and foremost is a huge thank you to parents, because parents in the last week, Robert Smythe Academy parents, have been really thoughtful, really diligent, really hardworking in terms of trying to support students through their first week of remote learning. To ask parents at, you know, a moment's notice, the drop of a hat, to balance being a teacher at home alongside working commitments, other children, other relatives, having to pick up food, having to pick up medication, and all set against the, you know, the understandable anxieties of this national crisis, I think has just been a huge ask of parents. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, parents have been absolutely fantastic in this first week. And actually over the last few weeks in terms of their support for school. So they're doing a brilliant job. I wanted to say that first because what I've noticed is that there are a number of different ways that schools are approaching this phase at the moment. And I'd like to really explain how I'm approaching it. I'm approaching this phase really as someone who is learning. I don't have all the answers. I've never been a distance learning provider before. I'm working on it. In working on it, I'm really trying to think carefully about the three key groups. And the three key groups for me are obviously students, parents, families, and staff. So from my point of view, I think it's really important that we start from a position of empathy. Everyone, each one of these three key groups is going through a great moment of uncertainty. There is anxiety, which is completely understandable, about what's happening outside. And the priority at the moment is that it's responding to that, whether that be physically, whether that be emotionally, whether that be mentally. That is the big issue at the moment in society. And I think for parents, it's important to understand, you know, and I'm trying to practice what I preach here at home too with my own children, that, you know, if you're that really proactive, if you've taken that really proactive approach to scheduling timetables and work, and, you know, that's absolutely brilliant, I think it's still worth expecting that there'll be points when you just need to pause that plan a little bit, or maybe even go to plan B, plan C, D, E, or F. Because the reality is that students and children at home will be anxious. They do need time to sit in the sun if that's possible. They do need time to talk about how they're feeling. They need time to have a cup of tea and a chat. They need time themselves to create a little bit of peace so that they can come to terms with what's going on. So I think it's as important that we look after collectively as a community, that, you know, the mental health of everyone, without overly pressurizing work. At the same time, routine's really important, isn't it? So we have tried to organise enough work for the week to mirror, as closely as we can think to mirror, the school experience. So teachers are setting work, they are working their usual school hours, albeit remotely. They're communicating with students and parents via Show My Homework. They're giving feedback, they're sending virtual postcards, and they're leading some really clever, creative kind of video sessions in some subjects. And you know, they're trying to be quite creative too, to encourage students. But what's at the core of all of that is, can we try and encourage each other? Can we try and work with each other to make our way through this? Because again, it's, I don't think right to sit here and to say, this is exactly the route that we're going to follow and this is going to be perfect. You know, we are learning and I am learning. So, you know, what can you do to keep your child learning at home? I think the first thing to do is to try and have a routine in place. If you're in that position, routine is helpful. I think having a routine that's flexible is helpful too. So looking at how your son, your daughter gets on during the day and being willing to adjust things if they're not working out. So for example, you know, if you've set the target that you want to get the maths and the English work done by lunch, but actually we're not quite all the way there and you can see that it's creating tension, frustration, anxiety, it might be that the right thing to do sometimes is just to completely take the pressure off and to change the plan for the afternoon and to celebrate the good things that have happened. And that's the other thing that I would offer, I suppose. It's always easy to lose sight of the good things that are happening and to focus on wanting more and wanting more to happen. And sometimes you're just as well to say, do you know what, that bit of maths work was awesome. That was a really good piece of work. Let's recognise that. Let's really praise that. Let's celebrate that. And let's actually take the pressure off now. And let's move into an afternoon where we're going to have a bit of time as a family to watch a film or to do something different. Now, I recognise in saying all of this that everyone's got a different home scenario, particularly if you've got younger children, if you're looking after relatives and all of those things. And I think if you're balancing all of those demands as a parent, you have nothing but my respect and I'm sure you're doing enough. So therefore, I think really the important thing is to respond as well as you can do, but not to put too much pressure on yourself so that you feel like, you know, you're constantly not doing enough, because I'm sure that you are. We've set up some email accounts for parents to try and support you. So I'm now talking directly to my parents. But, you know, if you have any questions about school closures or things that we can do to help, then you can email through to RSA School Closures. The senior team are looking at that account every morning. We meet as a video call remotely. We talk through it. If you like, we triage all of those concerns. We respond to you. But also, if you want to celebrate something good that's happening, we've got an account called RSA Stars. I'm using a hashtag RSA Stars on Twitter at the moment. And all I'm doing with that is I'm just celebrating all of the good things that are happening. So from my point of view, keep communicating with us, keep emailing. I know it's not always going to be smooth, but I know you're doing your absolute best. And I think it's important that we all work together to navigate this phase. So a huge thank you to parents. And I hope those are a few ideas that might be helpful. But ultimately, I'm sure you will have the right answers and the right ideas for your son, for your daughter. And if you don't, get in touch with us, get in touch with teachers. We'll do the level best to help you all. So I hope that answers the question. It's quite a long answer, but I hope that gives you an idea.
I know you've talked about the importance of being positive at this time. Do you have any final messages for students and staff, Dan?
It's been really nice catching up. I mean, the only thing I'd like to do to kind of sign off, I suppose, for today is just to flag some of the brilliant work that's been done by students up. So if you'll indulge me just for a moment, I just wanted to say to Eva in Year 8, Sam in Year 7, Sabrina in Year 9, Charlie J, Iris S, Working Science, according to Dr. Hammer, has been absolutely fantastic this week. So a big well done to you guys. Also wanted to mention Archie in Year 10, who's been working really hard in his first week off school. I've seen some of your work, Archie. That's absolutely fantastic. I've also seen the work that's been done by Alice, and a big thank you to Alice and to Mum, to Donna, for writing in about the feedback on chemistry, and the work that's been done there looks absolutely brilliant. I've also been really grateful for some of the creative kind of photos that I've received. So I've got a great picture of Nora, who's been baking at home. Great to see that enthusiasm, that passion for learning. Peter has been, I think, not only practicing the piano, learning that, but also baking as well. Some really great evidence of that home economics at work. Sam R in year seven doing the same. And also brilliant to see some of the really good work done by Lana in year seven as well, in 7L1, who's been working really hard and creating some really good stuff around the planets at home too. So those are just a few highlights really, but all of those young people are working really hard, sending really good evidence through of, you know, how they're making the best of the time. And also, actually, I was going to mention Leo in year 10 as well for his PE coursework, because that's looking absolutely brilliant. Lola's also done some brilliant work on, I think, on Perseus as well in English, which looks terrific. So as you can hear, I could go on and on and on. There are so many positives, and a big thank you not only to students but to staff for their hard work in this first week of remote learning, and to our brilliant parents. And I just wanted to sign off by saying that I will be writing to all parents this week again. I'm going to write an open letter, which I hope that they'll see. And that letter really comes from a weekend of reflection about the huge contribution that they've made. So really big thank you to parents, to students and to staff. And we keep moving forward.
South Leicestershire
and North Northamptonshire's
HFM.